of the Lord's Prayer. And the segment that we're going to focus on this morning is our daily bread. And so the Lord provides for us and cares for us in many ways, one of them with daily provision of food. And so we're going to look at that, to that segment of the prayer this morning. I'm going to preach this maybe a little bit different this morning. Most of us would tie it to food and maybe to God's care. And so I'm going to challenge you in that area, but also I'm going to look at some other things in our life as well when it comes to our daily bread and how we should live, especially as it pertains to us as Americans who have an abundance of food that we have in our lives and in our country today. For most of us, we deal with that problem. And so let's begin. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. And then we're going to flip back to Matthew 15, and then Matthew 6, verse 11 is our key verse of the Lord's Prayer that we'll read at the end, along with the Heidelberg Catechism this morning. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of the Lord. And then if you'd flip to Matthew 15. And we are going to read beginning at verse 32. And to the end of that chapter, verse 39. Now this is the feeding of the 4,000. But I want you to look what Jesus does with them. It's a simple story. Most of you know it. We've learned it in Sunday school. But we read it this morning as a reminder. And I want you to pay special attention to how Jesus feels about his people. That's what I want you to take away as we read this morning. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples, and they in turn to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, besides women and children. And after Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Megiddon. Megiddon would be an area, if you're in Sunday night Bible study with us, would be the Decapolis. A pagan region is where God went off to. And then if you go to chapter 6, verse 11, this is our key verse for today that we study. Simple and short, but here's what it says. Give us today our daily bread. The word of the Lord. I'm going to lay this here. Turn with me in your bulletin this morning. On the back of the outline, you have the Heidelberg Catechism. Question answer 125. It deals with this segment of the Lord's Prayer. It says, what does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and trust in you alone. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, after receiving your word this morning, and as we read that aloud, Lord, may that word come to life through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we look at, Lord, the giving of the Spirit today, and how important it is to our faith that it gives us understanding when we read the Word of God, when the message leaves my mouth to those that gather here today, the work that you do in them. Lord, may you begin that work again this morning. We pray that these words are your words, never mine, And Lord, we pray for that Spirit to open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your message. In Jesus we pray, amen. I'd like to tell you a little story this morning. There was a woman in a little village in Honduras who would have to climb up the mountain to gather wood every day for cooking food for her family. She would grind the corn that her husband would raise, cherish every kernel, hoping that it was enough to last to the next season or next harvest. And with this corn, she'd make tortillas in the palm of her hand, and she'd drop them into the pan one at a time, and she'd cook for her children. This was the only food they will have for the day to fill their stomachs. Now, this Honduras woman prays, "Give us our daily bread," totally different than probably you and I would pray that prayer. And hopefully you'll understand by the end of this message what I'm talking about. Because most of us have fridges and freezers and cupboards full of food. Maybe some of you have enough food to go a couple weeks or enough meat to go 6 months in your freezer, whatever that might look like. And I think often at times this gives you and I a superficial false sense of security, thinking that we are fed by the large supplies of food that we have in our homes or in the grocery store or wherever we do our shopping at. And so we need to recognize the blessings we've been given by our Father in heaven. And that's where I want to go with this message this morning. So let's look at what Jesus was doing with his disciples, and they asked this question, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And then he gets to this line, "Give us our daily bread." What did that mean to the disciples that were traveling with Jesus, the people who lived in the land at that time as well? They often did not know where their next meal was coming from, those who traveled with Jesus, the disciples, their families, women who accompanied them, children possibly as well. They didn't know where the Spirit would lead, where Jesus would lead them throughout their missionary journeys when Jesus was traveling the countryside. They didn't know where they were going to stay. They didn't know what kind of food they were going to eat or where it was going to come from or if they'd have a meal for even for that day. They couldn't plan for the next day. Now, they maybe took money along with them. As we know, Judas was the bank holder of the funds and stuff like that, and he dealt with the money in the group and so on. They had some stuff maybe that they would carry with them, like you and I might pack a lunch or pack a few snacks along for the day. They maybe had those types of things, but not real meals to sustain them day in and day out. And so it gave the disciples an urgency to pray to God for their next meal. God, provide for us our daily needs that we can eat. Give us sustenance that we can do your work and do the things that you call us to do. Look at the feeding of the 4,000. Notice what I told you to pay attention to. Jesus had what on the people? What word was used in Scripture that I read to you this morning? Now I'm going to test if how many of you are listening or not here, right? Jesus had compassion on the people. He was worried about them. They were with them for 3 days, didn't have a whole lot to eat, and now he's going to send them on their way. And he knew they were hungry. They were in need. He recognized this. And you know the rest of the story. He multiplies the loaves and the fishes to feed the 4,000 that they were filled when they left. But the point that I want to make to you this morning with that story is that Jesus took care of them. He was worried about them. He wanted to provide for them. He had compassion on them. And if you have your Bible open this morning in Matthew chapter 6, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, we run into a whole other set of verses. Let me just read to you verse 25 on the tail end of this chapter of the Lord's Prayer. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink, or your body, or the clothes you wear." That's what Jesus says. "I've got this covered. But are you going to trust me?" As Americans, I wonder how our trust is dealt with in the type of situation that you and I live in with the ample food supplies that you and I have. Daily bread. And so the prayer for our daily bread is the ability to recognize where your food might come from. The ability for you to recognize our reliance on Him, knowing we've been greatly blessed by God. And so often, when we gather as families in communities around our kitchen table, wherever it might be for mealtime, one of the first things we always take the time to do is do what? Pray, don't we? We're thankful to God for what He's given us. And then, of course, you know, in our family, we pray for other things and other needs for maybe families or a community or whatever it might be, for God to bring healing or blessings or whatever. Dry weather, right? It's probably been a very common prayer this past few months as well. Warm weather. But we always take time to pray for our food. It calls us to attention. We're thankful to have that provision in our lives. And so let me ask you this question here this morning. Sorry, let me jump ahead. If I'm not in daily need and my fridge and freezer are full, how does this prayer speak to me today? That's where I want to go today with this message, because you and I are not like the disciples. You and I are not like most of the world that lives on maybe one meal a day and they don't know where it's going to come from, because you and I are so blessed that when we go home today, you can open the food pantry or open the fridge and you can pretty much eat whatever you want. So how does this prayer speak to you and I in our faith walk as we live for Christ? That's where I want to go today. What does that look like? What does that mean to you and I? And so I believe that this statement in the prayer, "Give us our daily bread," calls us to a dependence on God and to live life with a humble simplicity. Did you grasp that? A humble simplicity in your life. That's what God is calling us to when we say that prayer, especially for us who are blessed abundantly. Humble simplicity. Now, Jesus does not encourage a prayer for wealth or a luxurious living, those types of things. We don't find that in the Bible. Nothing wrong with those things, but He says you don't need to pray for that stuff. Pray for your daily provision. What does that look like in your life? He doesn't call us to work day in and day out to gain the riches of the world. Rather, simply bread for today. That's what He calls us to. So praying for our daily bread means that we recognize what our bodies need from God, no more and no less. No more and no less. So we ought to thank God for each day's provision in our lives. We also ought to pray for those who do not know where their next meal will come from. And there are people within our community that might struggle with this, that you might not think are a big deal or they don't exist, but they do. We also ought to pray for people who live in the world that might fall into this category. They need to be praying this prayer because they are desperate. Like this Honduras woman who would make tortillas for her children once a day, and that was their meal. And I are also called to share with those who have none from our abundance. Now, most of us might do those things. Those are simple things to take care of. We understand the prayer, but let's go a little deeper this morning. I want to challenge you in some areas. And so let's look at Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 this morning as well. How else might this prayer speak into my life, especially for us blessed with an abundance of daily provisions for weeks? Let me reread Proverbs to you, and let me just listen. I want you to close your eyes this morning, but don't fall asleep on me, all right? Close your eyes, and I'm going to read these verses to you, and I want you to hear what's being spoken to you this morning when I read these. "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Now open your eyes. What did you hear this morning when I read that? Notice one of the key verses that, as I studied this passage this past week, at the end of verse 8, it says, feed me with the food that is needful for me. And right away I'm thinking, man, I really like donuts. I really like pie, ice cream, all those types of things. And then I thought, well, you know, I could preach this so many ways, but I'm just going to touch on this. I think this is where God calls us also as Christians to live healthy lifestyles. Do I need all that stuff? Probably not. But I like it, right? And more than likely, I probably won't give that up. But it calls me attention to, you know, do I really need that? And before God, God calls me to eat what's needful for me to sustain life. So we have an abundance, we have a blessing, we see that, don't we? So let me call that to your attention this morning as you think about this prayer. When we come to rely upon God and we ask for our daily bread, we learn how to live day by day. Excuse me, that's the verse that we just read. But let me share another story with you this morning. Notice what I said. When we gather close to God and we call upon Him, we need to learn to live day to day with our Lord and in our lives. And I believe that in America, we've lost the art of living day to day. Let me tell you a little story to help you understand what that might look like in our world. Now, this kind of challenged me a little bit this morning, and I hope it challenges you, because us Americans, if we're idle, we don't like that. We got to be doing something all the time. We are driven to be efficient. We are motivated that we got to be working all the time and so on and so on. We are so different than other countries throughout the world that you and I could learn a few things from them. So listen to my story here this morning. There was a rich industrialist who was horrified to see a lazy fisherman lying beside his boat, smoking a pipe, taking it easy. And this rich industrialist walked up to this man who was sitting by his boat relaxing, and he asked him, why aren't you fishing? And he said, because I've caught enough fish for the day. Why don't you catch some more, he said to him. What would I do with it, said the fisherman. And the industrialist said back to him, you could earn more money. You could buy a bigger boat and better nets. And you could even catch more fish. And he said, soon you'd have enough money to buy two boats and make even more money. And then you could be rich like me. And the fisherman asked, what would I do then? Then you could sit around and you could enjoy life. And the fisherman replied, what do you think I'm doing right now? Boy, isn't that a powerful story? How you and I think we need to work day and night and try to provide this and that, and we go way beyond maybe what our means are. We've lost the art of what it means to enjoy life day to day, to live life day to day, like the Lord calls us to do in our lives. So in our culture today, in our American culture today, we've lost that ability to live day to day. How many of you could use a lesson in living daily? I could. So here's kind of my take home for you today as you leave here. I think many of us, me included, struggle with living daily in our lives. We often overwork. We often trick ourselves into believing if we work just hard enough, maybe tomorrow or the week, maybe we'll have time to take off. Maybe I can relax and enjoy life when I get this project done. We have this anxious compulsion to be productive, to be efficient in the American culture. Often we can't just sit around and enjoy life because there are things to do. And inevitably, you and I, We miss out on a lot of the good things in life that God brings to you and I. The blessings that daily are given to you and I. We miss those because we don't take the time. Let me bring a few statements to you this morning that might help you understand maybe what's going on in your life this morning. You and I miss out on self-care when we run ourselves ragged for working for more. More stuff, more money, more provisions, whatever it might be. We miss out enjoying the beauty around us of what God has provided us. We miss out on prayer and quiet time with God because our lives are so busy sometimes. We miss out on spending time with our children and families. We miss out on much needed sleep or rest. And so let me ask you this morning in this prayer on the top of this screen, what are you missing out on in your life when you live and learn to live day to day? Because God's blessed you with so much. It's not just food. But what about the provision that he's given you? You know, we're the wealthiest nation in the world. You and I have more change in our pockets than most people have in their lives. And yet, we run ourselves so ragged, working day and night to gain what? Now, I realize you and I are called to work. Don't get me wrong. Right? We have to provide. We have payments we need to make, house payments, vehicle payments, insurance, all that kind of stuff. But how far do you really need to go? That's the question I want to challenge you with this morning. If we learn to live daily, you will find peace that only comes from God. So if life is hectic right now and things aren't going so well right now, take a look at maybe your schedule. Learn to live daily. So you have time to be in prayer with God. Set the tone for your day. Know what's your priority. If you learn to live daily, you will also be in the presence of your family and friends daily. Your presence. In the same chapter, Matthew 6. Is a great chapter if you really look at it. Verse 34 says this: therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's what the Lord says. And if you go on to read the rest of that, it says that it has enough of its own problems. But God's already there. But what he wants you to be consumed with is what's going on right now. Are you present with God right now? Are you present in the life that he's given you? Are you present with the things that he's blessed you with? Whether it be family, food, friends, the home that you live in, the things that are your possessions. Here's another way to speak that verse to you this morning. To us overachieving Americans, okay? Now, some of you, this is going to be hard for you to hear. But hear this. Do not put off leisure for tomorrow. Because tomorrow will never come. Now, leisure doesn't mean that you just simply lay around and you loathe, you do nothing. It might be on a Sunday afternoon where you might take a nap, but leisure also can be a pretty broad definition of, you know, just take some time to smell the roses. Take some time after supper at night to do stuff with your kids. Take some time to maybe invite the neighbor over and have lunch with them in your life. That's leisure. So I encourage you to do that. When you think about, give us this day our daily bread, God commands us, enjoy your life. I'll take care of the provisions and the food. You just live it. That's what he says. And so I encourage you today to start living that way. It's how the disciples lived. Now they maybe prayed that prayer different than we pray that prayer. But they are present in what was going on day by day. And so I encourage you to do that in your life as well. And when you get home today, by all means, thank God for a full fridge and a full freezer and the things that you have. And all of God's people said,